We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans, and welcome back to another edition of the Daily Draft, brought to you by Badger State Brewing in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I am your host, Ross Uggleman. This is a rarity because you are getting this episode the day that we recorded it. Why? Oddly enough, he was always on the schedule, but we want to take a look at Washington edge Braylon Trice. Now, Braylon was an interesting one. Certainly somebody that I wanted to see work out in Indianapolis. And his story really is almost even more about not working out and kind of what happened with him. And the way he wins, sort of the questionable decisions that I think were kind of made in his pre-draft process, whether that was put forward to him by an agent or what have you. But super, super interesting. We'll get into that kind of in the con section as we kind of go through Braylon, because nothing that I think that happened in Indianapolis that we know about. You never know how the meetings go with the teams and the meeting with the media and stuff like that. But I would say nothing that happened on the field or in the weigh-in was helpful for Braylon Trice. Pros on film, extremely physical player. And I would say even moving almost directly to a con, sometimes that shows up in not great ways with kind of the wildness that he uses, but ultimately it doesn't matter because we'll talk about the productivity in a little bit. But I mean, he is so, like, he just is on 11 all the time, and I love that in a pass rusher. Clay Matthews was a lot like that, especially early Clay Matthews, where just like, man, this guy is just cranked all the way up, down in, down out, empty in the clip. And that's certainly how Braylon Trice plays. His hands were extremely violent, and they do disrupt and shock offensive linemen in the run game and pass. He's definitely moving guys off their spot. I mean, when he shoots his hands and hits a spot, he's an impressive player. And you can see that on film in a multitude of ways, and I enjoy watching it for sure. High motor guy, you know, we've already kind of discussed that, but I mean, you know, with these pursuit sacks, the extra sacks, the extra plays that are made downfield, like, he's just constantly, you know, he's a coach's dream. You know, I would say he's a guy that coaches are going to push for, because I would guess that his Washington coaches are going to speak highly of him. And you know, when a outside linebacker coach or a pass for a defensive line coach, I guess Rebrovich would be the, you know, when he watches Braylon Trice, he's going to say, I want this guy. And I'm not sure that that's going to work out. We'll talk about that in the Packers fit part, but I would guess that it's something that, you know, a coach will say, because he is a high motor guy. He is a guy that is just constantly on, and that's whistle to whistle, which is a positive for sure. speed to power transition is excellent. The bull rush is strong. Even when he's not necessarily using his hands and just kind of walking guys back, that is excellent. And when he does get kind of a running start, and that's something he likes to do. Oddly enough, you know, for a guy who's not overly long, love to or like to rush from a two-point stance, even carrying as much weight as he was allegedly carrying, and we'll discuss the allegedly part there, but a lot from a two-point stance and a lot from a wide alignment. And I think part of that has to do with maybe a lack of flexibility and the inability to line up like in a six or a seven and turn the corner. I mean, he was not necessarily the like that old style Philadelphia Eagles wide nine, but he was out there, and that was to kind of create himself a path to the quarterback as opposed to actually being able to turn the corner and run the arc. Okay. Plus first step, I wouldn't say it's like elite ball get off, but it's a positive. It's certainly something that, you know, in my notes or what I think of Braylon Trice, that's something that I would grade positively. But it's not like, oh my God, this guy's first step. That's really not how he wins. He's not like a Chop Robinson. Okay. Play strength, excellent in both phases. Very, very rarely is he getting washed. And, you know, again, we'll talk about this weight thing, but a lot of the time it wasn't just taking on tight ends. A lot of the time it was taking on tackles. And, you know, whether he's moving a guy back on a bull rush or whether he's holding the edge, holding, you know, working down the line as he's supposed to do in run defense, and not a lot of run defense in the Pac-12, but his play strength is legitimate, as is his balance. Those two things are two things that I appreciate for sure. I would say that the counter moves, again, are kind of like the ball get off. His ability to counter in the pass rush game is similar to the ball get off, in that I'll say like it's a plus, but it's not, you know, like, oh my God, you know, this, if the spin doesn't work, well, his inside counter is beautiful. Or if it, you know, like his counter game is fine. Now, when you pair his kind of, you know, B minus B, you know, solid B counter game with his A++ effort, that leads to some cleanup sacks. That leads to some cleanup QB hits. That leads to, you know, the quarterback trying to extend the play and not having that work out the way that it might have had Braylon Trice not been there. So you'll see that on film where, you know, his first pass rush move doesn't work, goes to a counter, and then that, in addition to his ability to pursue, his constant and relentless way that he attacks the quarterback, those two work in concert, and it's a positive. It's definitely a plus, you know, on my notes here, I would say. And then, you know, look at productivity. We talked about productivity, and this is not specifically productivity, but we've talked on this show a number of times about Pro Football Focus's grades, and you know, you can have whatever opinion that you want of them, but his pass rush grades, you know, I would say these two things are good. So I set the minimum to 200 snaps, and that still was over 200 edge defenders, not even linemen, just edge defenders. In both years, that was more than 200 edge defenders playing more than 200 pass rush snaps, not just snaps, 200 pass rush snaps. And out of that group, he ranked 10th nationally in 2023 in grade and 4th nationally in 2022 in pass rush grade. Again, not the gospel, but you're talking about a 1%, you know, you're talking about a top 2-3%er. That's what you want if you're going to draft him in the top 60, which is, you know, probably his range, or at least it was his range coming into the NFL combine. He is a top, from a PFF pass rush grade standpoint, he's a top, you know, 2-3%er. Well, he's a top 1%er in the next stat, which is quarterback pressures. He had 70 pressures in 2022 and 80 pressures in 2023. That is 150 quarterbacks pressures. What does that mean? Hurries, hits, and sacks combined, 150 hurries, hits, or sacks in the last 2 years, which led FBS football, led the Pac-12, led them all. I mean, he was, from a disruption standpoint, the top pass rusher over the last 2 years, and that has value. Now, whether that translates is a question. Whether the athletic ability is in line with that, you know, we talk about so often the relative athletic scores, and people have, you know, varying opinions on how much testing matters. Guys, it matters. It matters at edge. It super matters at edge. You talk about some of the top guys, and of course, you know, bigger, faster, stronger athletes are going to be the ones that do really well. But when we're talking about a position. And tight end is kind of like this too, where the freaks, if you will, the freaks are kind of the most successful dudes. The ones that you are, you know, looking for in that spot, tight ends, freaks do really well. But man, you talk about some of the top guys in the league rushing the passer, and their RAS scores are enormous. Miles Garrett, 9.99, Rashawn Gary, 9.94, Montez Sweat, 9.92, Danielle Hunter, 9.91, Brian Burns, 9.90, Aiden Hutchinson, 9.89, Preston Smith, 9.80. If you're Packers fans, Jalen Phillips is super high up there. You go back a little further, Ziggy Ansah, 9.76. Folks, it's an important thing. It is an important thing. Josh Sweat, 9.68. Kayvon Thibodeau, 9.63. Max Crosby, 9.65. Trey Hendrickson, 9.53. J.J. Watt, you go back, 9.74. Bradley Chubb, 9.51. You see these 95th plus percentile athletes consistently at the top. Now, are there non-athletes that do a great job? There sure are. Okay, there sure are. Za'Darius Smith is kind of a non-athlete, and he does a great job rushing the passer. You will see guys that don't, you know, test super well, but I'm not looking at it right now. And I would guess 70 or 80% of the top 10 pass rushers in the league, as far as like pressure rate, are freaks. That would be my guess. If it's not 8 out of 10, you know, and maybe 15 or 16 out of 20, I would guess 80 to 90% of the best guys in the league are super athletes. And I'm not convinced that Braylon Trice is a super athlete. Now, you don't lead college football playing in a Power 5 conference in pressures if you suck at football. And Braylon Trice does not suck at football. He's very, very good at football. But this thing that happened in Indianapolis might have just kicked him out of round one. Why? Going into the cons now. A really, really strange weigh-in at the NFL Combine. Washington, and look, we, you know, I've been talking about sports information directors maybe not being the most honest cats in the world for a long time, but this one was crazy because I think he actually did trim down, or my God, I would hope he did. Washington listed him at 6'4", 274, so that catches my eye, right? Because we've talked a lot about Packer people, Packer fit. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but ever since, and got a little disagreement on Twitter this morning. That's fine. You know, ever since, you can look at it two ways. Ever since Brian Gutekunst started, or ever since Mike Pettine started, whichever one you want to believe, they have gone for the bigger edges. You look at kind of their top 125 picks before. Clay was more of an outside linebacker body type. Kyler Fackrell, certainly an outside linebacker body type. Carl Bradford was just straight up undersized. Vince Beagle, many would argue, undersized. And the one guy that they took that was big and they took him high was Nick Perry. And even they asked him to slim down. So they had that kind of smaller archetype gone. As soon as, you know, Goody got there, or as soon as they switched to Mike Pettine, big, big edges. Rashawn Gary, big. Preston Smith signed big, but then LVN drafted big, big edges. You know, that's especially in the top 100, they big, big dudes. So you're looking at listed at 6'4". Okay, that's kind of the Packers line. And then 274. Well, the line for the Packers have been 260, 260 plus, please. And so I'm thinking, all right, interesting. You know, great grades, great pressure rates. Film is good. Like the way he uses his hands, relentless. All right, love it. And then comes to the combine at 6'3 and a half, 245. Does no jumps, does no agilities. The agility is not great on tape, and then runs just like an okay 40 time. I think his RAS ended up in the sixes or sevens or whatever. It wasn't great. And so, and honestly, it's a nothing thing, because I love, you know, what they do over there. And I love using those numbers to try and educate fans and point them towards guys that Green Bay is likely to take. But yeah, and he didn't even qualify because he only ran. 4.72 is an 84th percentile 40 for an edge. And the 1.65 10-yard split is a 77th percentile 10-yard split, which the 10-yard split is more important for the pass rusher than the 40. Well, that's good. You know, athletes are getting bigger, faster, stronger. Is 77th percentile something to get like super excited about? I don't know. I'll tell you what's not anything to get super excited about, and that's not verting and not broad jumping and not running the three cone and not running the short shuttle. That is something to not get excited about. That raises concerns. Now, a lot of that could be answered at Washington's Pro Day. You can't really, certainly can't cheat on a vert. You're not going to be able to cheat on a broad. And teams have their own clocks for the three cone. So those numbers are either going to be there or they're not. He wasn't. So the other question for me is, I think he did drop weight. I don't think Washington was lying by 30 pounds. Okay. I don't think that's the case, but he wasn't a bendy speed rusher. So why drop the weight? You know, he's going through guys and he's not just as, you know, just a, like what LVN was this season and what Gary was coming out. You know, he's not just a freak athlete speed to power bull rusher. He can do that, but that's not the only way he won. Like he was a hand fighter. He did a lot of really good work, you know, going, working half man, inside moves, outside. He's good. He's good at pass rushing. He's a technician. What are you doing dropping 30 pounds when you're going to try and go through a tackle? And that has been, by the way, Green Bay's preference on rushers. They have preferred the guy that will go, you know, through the tackle as opposed to the guys that I sometimes like watching that can bend and run the arc and go around a tackle. And look, different strokes for different folks, whatever. That hasn't been the way that Green Bay has done business. But the way that Braylon Trice played football at Washington was the way that Green Bay has done business. Why are you dropping 30 pounds? I don't get it. I don't. And plus, now, you know, we're going to talk about it in a second from a Packers fit perspective. He's too light. Maybe. We're going to talk about that in an episode that you're going to see on Tuesday with Justice Mosqueda, because he's got a little bit of a different theory on that. And I'm maybe starting to possibly believe it. Okay. Lack of length shows up on film. That was confirmed at the combine. He's not 6'4", and he's got 32 and a half inch arms, which are short for a defensive end, period. Those are short arms. He plays high, and again, often, like I said, loves the two-point stance, plays high, and often rushes from a wide alignment because he does not appear to have the ability to bend the edge, to turn the corner, ankle flex, knee flex, hip flex. That does not appear to be there. So he has to line up wider and kind of get a running start at the corner and trying to beat tackles that way, otherwise counter the wide alignment with an inside move, get to the quarterback. Very good at those things. Not trying to hate, but I don't understand the strategy here as far as what he did going into Indianapolis.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Packers fit might not be real great. And I'll give a little preview as to like Justice is thinking. So Justice pointed out on this very channel, you know, talking to Andy, a lot of Packers fans are thinking about the old school way of a 4-3 defense. You think about Vonnie Holiday, of course, the GOAT, Reggie White. You think about Sean Jones. You think about, you know, other guys that they drafted. Even Aaron Campman was considered a little bit small. But you know, 4-3 defensive ends. And they drafted some guys that maybe necessarily didn't work out, in like a Michael Montgomery. Of course, Jamal Reynolds. Everybody remembers them drafting Jamal Reynolds. But that's a real 4-3 defensive end type. That has not been the case. Okay, the Jets, Robert Saleh running the same defense, just took like a 238-pound pass rusher in the first round in Will McDonald. They have other small pass rushers in Carl Lawson and the other kid that's going to get super paid, Huff, Bryce Huff. He's going to get paid. And then you look at what the D'Amico did down in Houston and spending a high pick on a 241-pound pass rusher in Will Anderson and pairing him with a bunch of other guys that don't weigh 260 pounds. Maybe speed rushers are coming to Green Bay. I don't know that for sure. I'm not even predicting that, but I am saying it might be time to just press pause a little bit on the height, weight thresholds and see if, even if it's one of those body types that Halfley wants in the room, they might be interested. But what we were working off of, which is, I believe, 3-cone, broad jump for sure. I'll pull it up here for our good friend Jake Morley, by the way, by the Packer Report draft guide. We've got all of this Packer stuff. So we were working off of 6'4 plus 260 plus 80th percentile broad jump, which would be about a 10-foot generally broad jump. And those are the keys. And then they like the, I would add to this a 7.05 second 3-cone or less. Jake doesn't have it here, but I would add it if I were doing it. So without those numbers, it's hard to know kind of what the deal is from a fit standpoint. But I don't know, you know, those things they don't move on, I guess is what I'll say. Height, weight, I'm not sure. Okay, the broad jump thing, explosion, right? That's what your vertical and your broad jump show, your explosive metrics and your agility metrics, specifically the 3-cone. They love the 3-cone for pass rushers, and that doesn't change if they're interested in a guy who's maybe, you know, 6'3¾" and 251 as opposed to 6'6", 276. They still want guys that can turn, and that has never been, whether it was the Capers more outside linebacker body types to the Pettin more defensive end body types, it hasn't mattered. They love the 3-cone drill and the broad jump. It is important to them. Still, I think he's one of my favorite rushers in the draft. Okay, it's been fun to watch him work. I would say I agree with Pro Football Focus's grading if we're talking about a play-by-play consistency level and his ability to affect the quarterback. I just really enjoy watching him play football, and he's one of my favorite players in the draft, even though he's not aesthetically like the type of rusher that I like, that, you know, is a speed guy or a speed guy with some good moves. And he's not that. He is a go through your face type of guy, but still, I think he'd have to have a lot go right for him at the Washington Pro Day to be even considered to be a Green Bay Packer. And that, by the way, doesn't mean that he's not going to have a successful NFL career somewhere else, but you guys, hopefully, you know, most of you watching the show are Packers fans. And I'm just trying to tell you that unless some things go really well for him at Washington's Pro Day, this nonsense that went on dropping 30 pounds going into Indianapolis and not running any drills is not going to help anyone. And again, I mentioned Green Bay has liked edge guys that are 6'4 plus. He's not 270. He isn't anymore. And they like the broad jump and the 3-cone, and we don't have those numbers. We don't know. We don't. Overall grade, I really liked him. He's player 33 overall for me. I think edge 5. He's going to drop. I don't know how much. Depending on what happens, I don't think I'll move him off of, like, I don't think I'll move him to round 3. He might be ranked outside my top 64 players. I know that doesn't always make sense, but this is concerning. This is, you know, the short arms, not running the agilities, that kind of stuff. But again, it's like people accuse me a lot of being obsessed with the numbers. He's maybe going to drop half a round for me. And that might seem considerable. Maybe it puts him, you know, Green Bay at 58, take a corner and a tackle, take a really good pass rusher at 58. Don't know. Very interested in his jumps and his agilities at Washington's pro day, or he might have, I think, potentially a Kingsley Enagbare situation. Not maybe to the level that Kingsley dropped, but we could, because again, pass rusher, edge defender, for me, is the number one athletic testing position. Number one. And I think that, you know, that could potentially be the only path to him for Green Bay. For him to be a Packer would be if he fell. Because as we've seen with Kingsley Enagbare, as we've seen with, you know, even the guys that they target in undrafted free agency, that's when those things, you know, kind of go away. They like a certain kind of tackle in the top 100. But an undrafted free agency, they'll check out a 6'9", 300 million pounds, Caleb Jones. They like a certain kind of corner in the top 100, but they'll check out Ladarius Gunter running a 4.7 in undrafted free agency. They really like a certain kind of edge rusher in the top 100, but when a guy as good as Kingsley Enagbare continues to drop, they'll take him in the fifth round because he's just too good at football. There might have to be a drop like that with Braylon Trice. For him to be a Green Bay Packer. Guys, thanks so much for watching the show here and or potentially listening on the podcast. What can you do for us? Easy. Check me out. I'm at Ross Uglum on X, formerly known as Twitter. Check us out at Packer Report. Becoming a VIP is the number one way to support us. And that first month is $1. You can just kind of see what we're about. If you don't like it, you're welcome to cancel or upgrade to the annual, which is, you know, fewer total dollars if you're on the annual subscription. And there are some really cool perks that come with being a Packer Report member as well. The other thing, guys, is buy the draft guide. You know, this knowledge that you're getting or this, you know, context that you're getting is going to be all in the Packer Report draft guide. We're going to give you 10% off promo code DAILY, DAILY. And I'm going to write a couple pieces. There's going to be some Packer-specific articles, Packer-specific mock draft, player fits for like 300 prospects for Green Bay rankings. I mean, it's all going to be there. Jake's Packer people, the threat. Like, if you want to be a knowledgeable Packers fan heading into the NFL draft, you got to have it. Other than that, do everything you're supposed to do here. Like, subscribe, get all the wonderful Pack-A-Day podcast that you need. Have a great rest of your Friday. Have a great weekend, everybody. And go Pack, go.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.